Sota, Yud Ches, Amud Aleph. You should know a lot of people have the minhag to learn Sota between Pesach and Shavuos, but the Daf Yomi is like a week ahead of them, right? Because there are 49 dapim in Sota, so a lot of people have the minhag, especially the Hasidim, to learn it through Sphira. Anyways, we're a little ahead.
So if you get dapim in memory of Hanukkah family.
Oh, that's today? Okay. Yes. Today's daf. Oh, that's tomorrow. It says. Oh no, that's Torgo. Never mind. Today's daf. Today's 4:16. So today's daf is sponsored by Gil and Chani Stevens, in memory of Chani's grandmother, Rose Friedman Frankel. Her name was what?
Miriam Rachel Basara.
Miriam Rachel Basara. Her neshama shavin aliyah. So here we go. Bye, Rabbi. Kasa shtei megillos shtei sotos. Let's say you wrote two parchments, right, for the water that you're going to dissolve in the water, for two separate sotas, right? Well, you said you can't write them until they basically swear that, you know, they're innocent, etc. So now you wrote two, because both of them swore. But umechakam lasof kosachat, and then you erased them into one cup. So mahu. Ksiva lishma v'inan. Oh, this is exactly what I said yesterday. Do you need lishma? Ksiva lishma v'inan v'ha'ika. You wrote them with the proper intentions, and therefore they should be good. Odoma, va'inan nami mechika lishma. Maybe the mechika meaning when you throw it into the water, it has to be for this person and this person only. And therefore, if you put two in the water, it's not lishma. The water is not for one person exclusively, and therefore it's not good enough. V'im timsilamai va'inan nami mechika lishma. And if you're going to tell me you need to put it into the water lishma, mechakan b'shtei kosos v'chazer ve'irvan mahu. Let's say you put them into the water separately, so the mechika was unique to that one person when it was dissolved, but then you put them both in the same cup. You mix the water together. So now, is that a problem? Mechika lishma ba'iran v'ha'ika odilma, right? Is all you need that the dissolving of the parchment into the water has to be exclusive to one person with the proper intentions for that one person, and you did that. Odilma, Halav dida kashasya, v'halav dida kashasya. Maybe the problem is going to be not that the thing wasn't lishma, but that the drinking has to be their own water. You can't drink somebody else's water. It's not going to work. As David said, the woman has a vested interest in doing this, right? Just slip some of this other stuff in there so that I don't blow up, you know, and then he thinks I'm innocent or whatever. Any slight thing that can go wrong, you know, we'll get her off.
Question?
Yeah.
There are very few, if any, recorded instances that I know of that Sota actually happened, that it got to the point of the woman, right? Now we're talking about a case, not there's only one.
Right.
There are going to be two at one time.
Yeah, no, it's not the first time where I've talked about theoreticals. I don't actually know if we had any recorded ones. We had recorded instances of Nazirs, right? The Gemara's in Nazir told stories about this Nazir and that Nazir. I haven't heard of any Sotas. Well, Shibshul is a little bit different. I'm even talking about times of the mission that they had Nazirs that came to the base. I think that
people
even today also, but obviously that's not going to be.
I think there's also many cases where we haven't had any incidents. It's just they're all what ifs.
Yeah, we have a lot of what ifs in the Gemara. I would say that the discussion here is getting to a much broader discussion than just the Sota. This is talking about, you know, when you have a specific contract, and you have a specific, or yesterday we talked about contracts, and can you write it beforehand and fill in the names, or do it out of order, right? So we're learning about general concepts within the context of Sota. So whether this actually ever happened or could happen, I don't know. Yeah, right, Yavamos. Yeah, some of those Yavamos cases seem to be pretty improbable, yeah. And if you're going to tell me that the problem is that they're drinking the other one's wine or the other one's water, and therefore it doesn't work, so chazar v'chilkan mahu. Chazar v'chilkan mahu. I assume this means, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, you poured them together, and then you spilled them into two different cups. Then you poured them into two different cups. So now... Yeah, right, exactly. Can we do that at a different time also? Like Kiddush, sometimes you do that. Make sure you get some of the Kiddush wine in every cup or whatever. But, like Shavuot Brachos type of thing. So Mahu, Lahavdil, obviously, Shavuot Brachos and Sota are exact opposites of what's going on. But Mahu, so what's Halacha? Yesh Breira, oh, Ein Breira. anyone who who's been in Daf long enough should have PTSD from that phrase. What's Yesh Breira in Breira? Can we retroactively designate, oh, this must be the same water from before? Or this must be this, or can we say, no, we can't retroactively designate something like that? And we can't necessarily assume Lishma. Anyone who also knows Daf Yomi enough, or Gemara enough, knows that when you have a bunch of Imtim Tilomers, one word after the other, what's always the conclusion? Take you. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know. But that's usually how it goes, because, you know, we don't answer a question, we just add another question to it. Wait, why didn't you answer that question? It's because we don't know. So by Rava, another question from Rava. Hishka b'siv. Siv is like a different kind of ink, is that what that is?
He gave her the water to drink through a palm fiber.
Oh, through a palm fiber.
Filters out the...
Oh, interesting. Meaning you filtered it. It's like a, you put like a coffee filter. And then it is, and the paper is no longer in there anymore, or the parchment's not there. Is that what it's saying?
No, I think it's maybe to filter out the disgusting dust or something like that. You know,
it's got dust. Yeah, no, it filters out. I'm saying my thought process is that's a problem because the parchment that dissolved into the water is not going to be in the water that she drinks.
Just the
maybe even the ink will be filtered out.
I don't know. Either one. I don't know.
The piece of parchment doesn't dissolve.
Okay, so you're saying so the ink also potentially
and
could.
And the dust.
Right, from the
from the
ground that we put in there, yeah. So mahu. So bishvo feres mahu. Derech shesia bekach, ein derech shesia bekach. Is this called drinking or not? When you drink from those things. Is that called drinking the water of the sotza soteku? By Rav Ashi, nishbechu mehen mishtayu mehen mahu. Let's say it spills out most of it, or all of it, or some of it, or a little bit. Some of it spills out, and you drink the rest of it. Does that work? So take them. We don't know. Lots of questions we need answered. As Joe's pointing out, I hope this never happened, because those are pretty simple questions. If the little bit of the water spills out, how often do you have a cup that the water doesn't spill out a little bit?
Or as Aaron said, what's the point of even asking these questions if there are no
answers? All right. Still worthwhile to know that the Gemara was thinking about it. And we, oftentimes, when we have a teiku, by the way, we'll just say, we pass in the Chumra. Once the question is asked. If the question is never asked, so then we don't know if it's a chumra or not.
Is it possible, being that the Gemara wasn't finished for 400 years, 300 to 400 years after the temple was destroyed, that
they just don't remember?
That they just don't
remember. Yeah, that's definitely possible. The Gemara themselves talk about how there are halachas about, you know, bringing a knife for the Karav Pesach. They come to Hillel and they say, okay, well, what did you do? I don't know. Look what people do. So just, even during the Beis Hamikdash time, they don't remember the last time this happened. And so, yeah, it happens all the time, but they don't remember. So, Amar Avizera, Amar Rav, Shtei Shavuos Hamaros B'Sotza. There are two swearings that happen during Sotza. Lama, why do we need two? Achas Kodem Shenimchaka Megillah, V'Achas Tla'achas Shenimchaka. One is before the Megillah was dissolved into the water, and therefore, I think we're trying to sort of make her confess at that point. We don't want
the whole idea.
We don't want the dissolving to happen. We'd rather not dissolve Hashem's name. So we try to make her swear in order to sort of pressure her to do it. But then afterwards, we make her swear. I'm not sure why. Why? What would be the benefit of making her swear again?
Again, it's just...
make her confess again.
Maybe before she
blows
off.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Okay, I don't know. Maskevler Rava Tarvayu Kodem Shenimchaka Megillah Ksivan. Both of the Shvuas, at least based on the Pesukim, are said before the actual Megillah is before the Megillah is dissolved. Ksivan here is referring to the fact that it's written in the Torah that way. If you one were to look at the Pesukim of Bamidbar Hey Yutes and Chaf, you'll see the Shpia Soa Kohen, and then it says again on Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis the Shpia Kohen, and it's only afterwards in Pasuk Chaf Beis where it says Uva Amay Mari Ma'el V'Mayach Litzvot Vatn V'Al Peyarech. It hasn't happened yet, the water thing. Okay. So then how could it be that you're going to tell me, Rabbi Zera, from Rav, that what happens before, what happens after? The Pesukim clearly say both are before. Ela, Marava, Achas, Shvua, Shieshima, Allah. One is a swearing that has a klala of curse. There are different types of swearings. One with a curse, one without a curse. Okay, if you look at the psukim, you'll see it doesn't say the word Allah there. What is the situation or what's the process for a swearing that does not have a curse? Amarav, amarav, marav. Mashbiani alayach. Mashbiani alayach. This is the Kohen talking to the woman, I assume. I am making you swear. Shalom nitmeh, she'im nitmeh, yavo bich. That you did not become tami, meaning you did not commit this act. But if you did, so the water will go into your stomach, right? That yavo bich is the curse. Amar Rava, Allah l'chuda kaima, u'shvo l'chuda kaima. Never says Rava, no, it's not true. The curse and the shvua are two independent aspects of the process. You can't say that one shvua is without the curse, because they're always without the curse. They're always independent. Ela Marava, Mashbiani alayach, she'im nitmei sevo bich. What? Hold on. Oh, Rava is referring back to Rav Amram Amarav and saying, when you say it like that, Mashbiani alayach shelo nitmes, she'im nitmes, yavo bich, so that's not, those are two separate clauses. Shelo nitmes, and then she'im nitmes, yavo bich. So those are two separate clauses, and therefore that wouldn't be considered a shavua she'eshima Allah. That's not considered a swearing that has a curse. Rather, says Rava, in order to make it a swearing that has a curse, you have to say Mashbiani alayach she'im nitmes yavo bich. That's it. I guess if you have it like that, you don't have the first clause and it doesn't sound like two separate things, I guess. Amar Vashi, no. Allah ika shvua leka. In that case, that's just a curse. That's not a shvua. The shvua would be that you did not commit this act. But here in the phrase of Rava, Mashbiani alayach she'im nitmeh sevo bich, swear that if you did it, the water will come. That's not a shvua, right? We want her to make the shvua that she didn't do it. Not swear that if you did it, the water is going to go. That doesn't make any sense. So Allah Ravashi, Mashbiani alayach shelo nitmeh, v'im nitmeh sevo bich. Right, so says Ravashi, the wording should be, I am making you swear that you didn't do it. Because if you did it, the water is going to come. So the difference here is just the shin or the vav. Anyways, looking closely, you can see that.
Which should be, I'm making you swear that you were not the fire.
Right, but that's not a curse. You need to have the curse with the swearing. So how can you combine that phrase, that you didn't do it?
But doesn't curse if so fact that come, if she was...
By implication, yes. But the Gemara is saying here that they have to come together. Explicitly. Okay. So that's how you say it. V'im nitmeis.
Like a hasra to her.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, seems like that. Okay. Well, more just to fulfill the pasuk, which says you have to say the curse. But says the Mishnah, al mahi omer samein amin. Right. We said in the previous Mishnah, based on the previous on the pasukim that we said, b'amibar hay chas beis, the amra hayisha amen amen. Some people say you say that word. Some people say you don't say that word when you're talking to sota. But the question is, what is she saying amen amen to? So say, ask the Mishnah, Amahi Omer Samen Amen. Amen al Ha'ala, Amen al Shvua. She agrees to the curse, she agrees to the Shvua. Amen Mishzeh, Amen Mishacher.
Amen if I committed adultery with this man about whom I was warned, and Amen if I committed adultery with another man.
Why would she bring that up? I know you're asking me about so-and-so, but I didn't sleep with so-and-so either. Before you ask me that question, why are you talking about so-and-so? Why are you talking about the second guy? I don't know. That's a weird one. Why is that necessary? I guess the Gemara will talk about it. Amen shalos atisi yarusa vil unesua v'shomer tzavim ukenusa. Right? Basically, she's covering all her bases. I didn't have adulterous relationships with anyone. Not with an engaged
But this is...
Man? Shouldn't it be Arus?
This is very contrary to everything we've learned until now. Until now, she's warned about...
Oh, not when I was an Arus, but not when I was a married. Yeah, you think what?
This could be... This is very specific circumstances. She's warned not to be alone. She is seen
right.
alone with
the warning was very specific.
She's warned not
yeah.
to be alone again with
yeah.
that guy.
It seems like
now we're
yeah.
just all flying all over the place.
Yeah. It seems like the base on many she's trying to get a 10-for-1. You know? I didn't commit adultery with this guy and that guy and when I was this and when I was that. Just to cover all our bases to make sure that she was never adulterous.
But if another man is involved,
yeah.
And there was no hashra.
That's an interesting point.
So what's the point?
Yeah.
It's not the same situation.
Yeah, it does seem that we are now divergent from what the original warning was. And I wonder if that has any ramifications. But I guess our point here is that water, the water with the dissolved Shem Hashem, can do its magic regardless of any other warnings. So once sort of she's brought in for that, we can... You know, get her other thing. It's sort of like
she's supposed to swear as to being a yavam.
She wasn't a yavam.
And she never yavam.
Right. Yeah. She was. We know that she was or not. Right. We know the guy was alive all his her life. So I don't know. The Uchanusa. I never had any relations outside of my marriage. Okay. It says in the Mishnah, Amen Shlo Nitmesi V'im Nitmesi Yevo Bi. Right, when she said, I did not have any relations, what she means is, I didn't have relations, and if I did, the water should come and blow me up. Rabbi Meir Omer, Amen Shelo Nitmesi, Amen Shelo Et Tamei. That the Amen is not just, I didn't do it, but I will not do it.
She's going to swear about in the future now?
Yeah, she's committing to that. I mean, she's already basically sworn to not do that based on the Torah, but okay. But I think the point is that the water will testify to her future, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. I have a note that says that also. If in the future she will commit adultery, then the water's going to blow her up too.
With anybody?
Yeah. I mean, I would assume it's an adulterous act, but yeah.
Well, she commits adultery with anybody.
Yeah. You're right. Not just the person. But I'm saying like if she gets remarried or something, it's not going to blow her up because of that. Because that wouldn't
be
considered tamei.
In the second case too?
Yeah, you need hasra for all these things, presumably to effectuate another stotah process. You need hasra. But the way I'm thinking of it is lahavdil. You know how like you know you watch these criminal documentaries and you can't get the guy for the crime that you want him because you don't have enough evidence. But then you like pull him over for speeding and then you bring him in and then once you got him in the police.
Tax evasion.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. Same thing, like for tax evasion or stuff like that, right? So then you bring them in, and then you grill them, and then you can ask them whatever you want. So here, that's what I'm assuming is going on. You know, we can't get you; we can only get you for this guy. But while we've got you in, you know, in the police station, let's ask you about all the other stuff too. That's not exact. Obviously, it's not a parallel case, but that's how I'm thinking of it. Whereas we're rolling in all other possible iniquities. Hakol Shavin, everyone agrees. However, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir both agree. She'ain mas na ima lo al kodim shetiz ares v'lo al achar shetiz garish. That we are not making her swear about what happened to her or who she cohabited with before she was engaged and not after she was divorced. Or after she will be divorced? I don't know if that's referring to the past or the future. I think it's referring to the future. Even if she were to get divorced and then have relations, it has to be for the future, unless she already got divorced from this guy, but why would he bring her to be a sota? I don't know. Nister ala echad v'nitmeis v'achrecha chazira lo hayamas nima. If she had secluded herself with somebody, and defiled, and was defiled, and then the guy remarried her. Lohemas nima. We wouldn't consider that kind of case either. Yeah, I don't know why we have to say this. We're talking about post divorce. We're not talking about anything post divorce. So if they were already divorced, so why would that be relevant? Okay.
Well, I'm also talking about Ramea's position about swearing in the future.
Yeah.
So whether the Mishnah is going according to Ramea or not according to Ramea, about you can make somebody swear about something in the future.
Right. So the question, right? So that's a major chiddush from Rabbi Meir. But the point here is that the future could include a potential divorce situation. So we're saying that even though that's the future, that would not be included. Zekla kol shetiba el v'lo haisa asura lo. Anything, any act that she could have committed, any sexual act she could have committed, but would not have ramifications for this current husband. V'lo ha'masnima. We would not make any kind of requirements. We would not require her to be tested for those things because it has no ramification for who the person who brought her in. So the point is,
why would you even think that she has to?
Well, the Mishnah is saying she has to. That's the halacha. Meaning she's not volunteering this information. We're making her say, did you have any relations with anybody while you were married with this guy? It's true, this guy only required her to talk about a specific partner, but we're now saying that maybe this husband has other things to worry about with this lady, right? Let's say, for instance, you've got a disloyal wife, if someone were to have a disloyal wife, and you think she's sleeping with so-and-so, you could probably assume, you could imagine that the husband also is worried about other guys. Maybe there's somebody else. This guy she never actually, went all the way with. But maybe there's another guy. She's clearly secluded with this guy. Who knows, she wasn't secluded with somebody else. So now when he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, he's got to be clear. He's got to clear her from all of other possibilities. So that's what's going on here. But if it's something that's irrelevant to him, like it's going to happen after a divorce, or it happened before they even knew each other, so it's not relevant to him. I might be wrong, but it's not relevant to him. That's the Gemara, Amrav Hamnunav, Shomer Tevam Shezinsa Asur Livela. That is Shomer Tevam that commits adultery, meaning she sleeps with someone while she's meant to marry her brother-in-law, so then she can no longer marry her brother-in-law. Mima, how do we know? Because our Mishnah says that I wasn't even a Shemeres Yavam, I never committed adultery while I was a Shemeres Yavam either. So, if it's a problem for her to do so, then that's why we're talking about it in the Mishnah, because if she was a Shemeres Yavam and committed adultery, she would not be able to marry this guy, stay married to this husband. If you're going to tell me it's not, so why would we ever make such a caveat to her drinking the water? We learned in the Mishnah, the rule of the Mishnah was that if it would be some kind of relationship that would not prohibit her to her husband, so we wouldn't mention it. So if she's saying, I wasn't a Shomer Tiavim when I committed adultery, it must be that it was Aser. Otherwise the Mishnah wouldn't say it. So Amri Barava, yeah, okay, fine, in Bava, maybe that's how you read it. But in Eretz Yisrael, which is to the west of Bavel, so then the halakha is not like Rav Hamnuna, and really, Shomer Tevam Shezinsa is really not a Surli Yavama. So why is it, therefore, that the Mishnah says the word Shomer Tevam if, as a Shomer Tevam, she wouldn't be problematic to their husband? So Hamani Rebbe Kivahi, the Amar Ein Kiddushin Tovsin B'chayav Elavin. Umeshav Elah Ki Erba. That kiddushin is not tofes when it comes to a lav, meaning a woman who is usher to marry somebody only when it's a lav. So then, meaning it's not a karis, right? You have relations with your relative who's closer than that, so that would be an actual karis issue. But here we're talking about just shomer shavim, so that's only a lav, and therefore when Rabbi Akiva holds that it's only a lav, it would not create a kiddushin. So that mishavele ki erba. He assumes that he treats it like an erva, or in the sense that it doesn't create an actual kiddushin, just like a karis wouldn't create a kiddushin. And therefore, Shomer Tevam is considered aser v'lav, and according to Rabbi Akiva, her kiddushin would not be tofes, and therefore, because it won't be tofes, the child would be considered a mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore, just like a woman who would be aser to be with her husband after karis, because of Znus, after a karis from Znus, so then so too this woman would create a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva if she were to cohabit with her husband.
But we rejected Rabbi Akiva.
We don't possibly like Rabbi Akiva. We're saying that the Mishnah follows that opinion. So here also, it wouldn't be usher, but it would still have other ramifications. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mal sheyasna adam al nisun harishonim. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks the question, if the person divorced his wife and then brought her back, can the husband, oh, this is interesting. Okay. They got married. They were happily married. She was suspected of being with somebody else in seclusion, and whatever, he can never testify. He never brought witnesses. It didn't work out. He couldn't bring her to the Beis HaMikdash and get her on it. Or like the beginning of the Gemara said, or the beginning of the Mishnah said, don't do it. And he didn't do it. He didn't bring her to the Beis HaMikdash to test her out. But, you know, it just deteriorated the relationship. They got divorced. Okay, it happens. Got divorced. And then, a couple years pass, they can't find anybody else. They get remarried. You know, they figured out, they tried again. So then they get remarried. Then, he figures out that she is secluding with somebody, warns her about it, has testimony from the
first.
In the second time around.
Oh.
Then he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash for the second time around. And now we're wondering, can he, now that he's got her this time, can we say, hey, what about the first time? Did you do it already the first time too?
She can make a swear about the first time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're asking.
She can refuse at any stage. At least so far we know. She can just say, I'm not going to do it. And his remedy is to divorce. Is she up to divorce?
Not going
to
do what?
She's not going to drink.
Oh, you're saying that she can just bow out.
I'm not going to swear. You want me to swear that too? Forget it.
Right, she can just divorce. Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't see why not. But once they're divorced, he can't bring her to the Beis HaMikdash anymore. The question is whether
the divorce is not after her. The
that's true too. The husband has to do that.
I know,
has to agree to. Yeah, I guess you could just refuse. Yeah,
the husband will have to decide. Am I gonna?
We'll give a lie detector test. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, I guess that's true. She can make this a stalemate if she wanted to. It's not going to be the benefit of anyone at that point. But so this is an interesting question. Can you clarify what she did in the first marriage, the first time the same people were married? Oh, interesting. Let's say you did Yibam. And you had a feeling that when she was with your brother, before your brother died with no kids, that she had cheated on your brother. So, and now you're the Yavam, you're bringing her to the Beis HaMikdash. Can you now clarify what she did or didn't do while she was with your brother? That's an interesting, it's getting like Days of Our Lives-ish right here. But okay, imagine if Days of Our Lives had Sota in it. That would be like an extra 10 episodes just for that one scene. Tashima. Zaklal. Kol shetibao velo te asura lo haya masni ima. Ha asira ha hanami demasna. Whenever there would be some kind of relationship which would make it asur, so then he could clarify about that. And in this case, even though it was from the first marriage, or if it was from the brother's original marriage, so that would have created an issur on this guy. It happens to, there's nothing to do about it right now, but it would have created a ramification for this guy to not marry her. And therefore, Shema Mina, he could ask that question. He could clarify about what she'd done in the past while they were together, in order that to clarify what would have been the ramifications for him. Even if it doesn't have any ramifications right now, it would have affected him back then, and therefore that's good enough.
You're right, his brother, while she was married to
his, yeah, because then she wouldn't, then he wouldn't be married to her.
Right.
He couldn't get married because it's his nuts. Yeah. What do you mean? Like an adulteress could nullify Yibum. That's what a sota is, trying to clarify that she's
With the brother.
Yeah. If she cheated on the brother, what do you mean? Oh, with the brother.
Yeah.
Don't make me bring the mentions out.
She cheated with the brother, then she was over.
He didn't say anything while his brother.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. That would also cancel it. That would also cancel it.
The outcome is saying, while you were married to my brother, swear that you didn't.
Right. Yeah. It wouldn't be a smart move on his part. Yeah. But. But I can imagine, for instance, let's say, you don't have to specify who the person was. Did you ever cheat on my brother? Now, meaning like, the Yavam.
Yeah, I confess it was with you.
Yeah, then he would deny.
You know the answer to that. Why are you asking? You know the answer.
Right, but let's say the Yavam doesn't really want to stay married to this woman. And he knows in the back of his mind, we had you know, an affair while my brother, but he doesn't want to say that. That if you drink this water, you know, do you swear that you never had any affair with somebody before that? Hoping that she's not going to divulge it. I don't know what. That father just told me a crazy situation in Baltimore with some politicians. Not good. Some crazy blackmailing going on back and forth. Anyways, sounds like that. So Rabbi Meir Omer, Amen Shalonit Mesi. Rabbi Meir says that when she says Amen, what she's saying Amen to is not just that I didn't commit adultery in the past, but that I won't commit one in the future, which we said was a huge kiddush. Says the Gemara Tanya, Lok Sham Rabbi Meir, Amen Shloes Amen. She'im titama mayim botkinus ha-me'achshav. It's not, that's not what he means. Right? Rabbi Meir does not mean that she has to swear that I will not commit adultery, and if she does sometime in the future commit adultery, the water will blow her up right now. Ella, what he means is, l'cheshet yititama mayim ma'ar arin osa u'botkin osa. Meaning, he's preemptively, what is it called when you like pre-buy, pre-purchase, advanced purchase? He's advanced purchasing sota water for her. Meaning, yes, we're not saying that this water is going to check you right now for what's going to happen 10 years from now. But do you agree that if you ever were suspected in the future, you'll drink water again? I don't know what the benefit of that is. Interesting. I happen to note here that what this means is that this water, I don't know how this is possible, but this water will stay in her body for the rest of her life. And if she ever commits adultery, it will make her blow up in the future.
Meanwhile, if she was really innocent and the water actually is positive and helps her have children,
right,
and it's staying in her body, what are they worried about in the future? Why are they thinking negatively about her?
I hear you.
Because
I hear you.
If she was guilty, you would have blown her up now and you wouldn't worry about the future.
I hear you. I hear you. But that's what it's saying here. This is not the point. Yeah, maybe it's like an intimidation factor.
Yeah.
Like, you should know this water is going to stay in you for the rest of your life, and you're going to be on the hook. If you ever do anything, it's going to blow you up.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy, but yeah.
But she's innocent.
Well, I don't know if it won't.
Otherwise, she's blown up now.
Right.
Right.
So why worry about her in the future?
Yeah, no, we're really grilling this woman.
She's going to be
guilty. We are grilling this woman. The truth is, as Joe is saying, like, we always, throughout these Gemaras and these Mishnahs, we're assuming the worst. We are assuming the worst in terms of like what we have to do to make sure that she's found guilty. But as Joe is saying, let's say she's really innocent, and now she's on the hook for the rest of her life. Like, why? That's not, you know, we are incriminating an innocent woman. That's what we're saying. We're basically we're putting her on the sex offender list when she's innocent.
And we're taking orders that had a beneficial effect on her now. Instead, right. Going to be in there and still kind of have a negative effect.
Again, we also always come back to that first thought, which is the fact that she was in seclusion with this man after being warned by her husband is enough that maybe she's already guilty a little bit. But Rav Ashi, Mahu Shiyasa Adam Al Nisuin Achronim, what about later marriages? Nisuin Achronim, is this with the same guy? I'm thinking of getting divorced. Can we use this water right now for the future remarriage of me to this woman? I want to take a little hiatus, but I might want to remarry her. So can we use this water now to check her for that later marriage?
I would say, we'll get divorced in the future and then get the heck away from me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Hashta mia lo asirale. Now we're asking the question. Hashta mia lo asirale. Can he do that? Because right now, for the marriage right now, it's not going to affect her. Right? That eventuality or that future potential cohabitation does not affect his current marriage, and therefore it's not usher to him right now. Odilma zimnin dibigarish lava hadra mahadra. Or maybe we do consider it to be his own relationship, and therefore it's going to affect him, and therefore it should be included, or could be included. So it says, not before they got married, not before they got engaged, betrothed, and not after they got divorced. And similarly, if she was divorced, she was defiled by some other guy, and then they remarried, lo hayamasa, you would not have any, you would not test her on that. Hayakhi ranavitame. So now we're saying no, it's only that which she does while being divorced that we're not going to be masna about her, to her. But we're not going to make any conditions. But if it's the cohabitation that she could have after being remarried, so that submission doesn't say anything about it. And therefore the implication is that you could, you know, make her swear about that condition too, that she won't cohabit while they're remarried later on. That's the halacha, shema mina. This is the law of the, how do you translate that, warnings? Haknaos?
Jealousy.
The jealousies. Oh, right, that's right. Right, we had said that the word kinna could mean a warning in the sense of jealousy, but that here it's sort of talking about jealousy, okay. Malamisha isha shosa vishona. It teaches you that the woman drinks and then drinks again?
If she becomes a sota again, she drinks again. In other words, let's reject all the stuff we've just said.
Interesting.
That's what it sounds to me like. If a man
wants to be multiple times that she has to drink.
Right.
If she
was found innocent, he can't compel her to drink again. There's a suspicion with regard to the same man. However, he can compel her
for a different man. Even though we conditionalized her the first time for other men too.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. So now we're saying for different. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Zos. It says the word Zos afterwards. Zos. So we're asking that, I guess, beforehand. Shein Haisha Shosa Vashona. That you do not. Once she's clean, she's clean. She's, you know, double jeopardy. Even if with another man. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Masa Vahayiz Lefanenu Nechunya Chofer Shichos. Is this a story? Shein Haisha Shosa Vashona. Vikibalnu Asut Eduso Vishnei Yonashim. So there you go. Joe, it happens. And this woman, not only did it happen, but she was double jeopardy. That she had done it once, and then we accepted, right, this is according to Nechunya Chofer Shichin. He, I don't know, he dug wells or something.
Dish digger,
okay.
Which here is a compliment today. We view
it. Yeah, right. Then it was like you brought people water, you found the cistern or whatever. Yeah. So either way, so he was one of the witnesses that the woman.
I think he's the one that testified.
He's testifying that this story happens.
He's testified, yes, that he heard from his teachers.
That there was a
and we accepted his testimony. Mm-hmm. Whose testimony? Nechunya?
Yeah, the dishbaker.
We accepted his testimony that this happens in front of two people about lo b'yishachad, but not with one husband. One husband can't do that. If it's a separate husband, so then he could bring her on separate charges.
Mm-hmm.
Once she's tried in based on Egdash, she's good for life. Once she's clean in that one moment, so then we never suspect her again.
Because you assume in that case that mine will take care of
her. Yeah, right, something like that. Exactly. Something like that. Vitanakama, Nami Haksiv Zos, doesn't the word Zos also appear for you? So Rabbanan Basrai, Nami Haksiv Toras. And so why are they ignoring the other words of the Pesukim? Amarava, Be'ish Achad Baalei Achad. The Kuliyam Alo Pligi to Eina Isha Shosav Shona. Everyone agrees that when it comes to one person with one wife, with one person and one suspected adulterer with his wife, that everyone agrees you don't do that one. That's double jeopardy. That's the same exact crime. Dichtiv Zos, it says Zos. Vishnei Anashim Ushnei Baalin, with two separate husbands and two separate adulterers, the Kuliyam Alo Pligi to Isha Shosav Shona. Everyone agrees she can be tried again. Just leave Torah. So then, ki pligi, when do we disagree? Be'ish achar shnei ba'alin. Gonna finish the parak here. With one guy and two adulterers, or b'shnei anashim, two guys, uba'al echad, and one adulterer. Same guy is trying to get with this woman even after she married somebody else. Tanakama sever taras l'rebuya kuhi. The Tanakama thinks the word taras comes to include all examples. And zos l'me'ute ish achar uba'al echad. And the word zos only comes to exclude one guy with one adulterer. that you can only try once for that. For Rabban Basrei, every Zos will move to Kuli, and the Rabbanan after, at the end, say no, Zos comes to exclude all situations, but Torah, the Rabbuya Shnei, and Ashram Shnei Balin, the only time it would be okay is in a situation where it's two separate husbands and two separate adulterers. Rabbi Huda Zos, Limute Tarti, Torah, the Rabbos Tarti. Zos, Limute Tarti, Ish Echad Baal Echad. The word Zos comes to exclude one guy with one adulterer. You can only do that once, no double jeopardy. And Ish Echad Shnei Balin, and one husband with two adulterers. You still can't do it. But then the word Torah, or Rabbi Tarti, Shnei Anashim Baal Echad, if it's two husbands and two adulterers, and Shnei Anashim Ushnei Baalin, two husbands and two adulterers, so both of those cases, basically as long as there are two husbands, every husband has the right to do it once on his wife. But once he does it again, you can't try it again.
You
know, one shot, you know. Oh gosh. Okay. Hajar Alach Hayam Evi.